thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Andrew Foster back in the studio. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
What's up for today? What are we talking about?
Well, Ben, today we have a little lesson from the tax court that our listeners will be able to take some things away. And before we get to what the actual case is, a little background is in order. So today is basically about retirement accounts and in specifically the early withdrawal penalty that's associated with retirement accounts. And so just, you know, brief history for our listeners. 1974 was actually when Congress implemented the Individual Retirement Account Act. And basically the key features, which everyone's fairly familiar with retirement accounts, are that you can place money into an account and you have tax-deferred earnings within the account. And then also we have a penalty should you decide to take that money out prior to reaching age 59 and a half. Now, why do we have a penalty? To discourage people from taking their retirement account money out earlier than the retirement years.
Right.
So that's the, that's
because you're getting your break in the meantime. So,
correct. Yeah. That's the history kind of behind IRAs. And then in actually 1978, Congress established, the modern day contribution plans known as 401ks. So 4 years later, we get 401ks, and the difference here in this particular case is the difference between IRAs and 401ks relative to early withdrawal penalties. Because to be frank and honest with you, Ben, the mechanism, what I talked about before, which is you put money into this account, it grows tax deferred, and there's early withdrawal penalties.
Not much difference.
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if it says 401k or if it says IRA, they're the exact same thing with regards to how the system is set up. But there are great differences regarding which particular plan you're allowed to take money from that had this exception to this early withdrawal penalty.
Right.
And so, you know, just a few of note, you know, if you are totally and permanently disabled, then you're allowed to take money 10% penalty free in both the 401k and the IRA. So there's one where both would apply. Qualified higher education expenses. We get a big X on 401k. We get the check mark on IRA. So you can take money out of your IRA for qualified higher education expenses prior to age 59 and a half and not pay the 10% penalty. It does not apply to 401ks. IRS levies. So if you get a levy from the IRS and you take money from your 401k or your IRA to pay for that, that amount that's owed, you're penalty free for both a 401k and an IRA. Medical expenses. So unreimbursed medical expenses. Both 401ks and IRAs, if you take money out early, you can take out penalty free.
Okay.
And then, if your health insurance while unemployed, you get a big X on the 401k and you get a check mark for your IRA. So you can take your, take out money to pay your health insurance premiums if you're unemployed on your IRA penalty free. But the qualified, the qualified plan, the 401k plan, not so much.
Okay.
And, you know, the key here, Ben, is we keep mentioning penalty free, but you still got to pay tax on this money. So that's kind of the kicker, which is
that's how this ends up in tax court.
It doesn't matter whether or not, you know, the penalty's involved or not. If you take money out of 401k or traditional IRA, you know, you're going to have to pay the piper when you pull that money out. It's just whether or not this extra 10% penalty kicks in, you know, again, to discourage people from taking money out early. The last one we get into, the last, and again, this is not an exhaustive list. There's other exceptions to the 10% penalty. But the last one that we're going to talk about today is the subject matter of our case, which is the first time home buyers. You know, and what basically you're allowed to take $10,000 out of your IRA in order to buy your first home. And in this particular one, you're good with an IRA. You can take it out penalty free. but not so much with a 401k.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So that sets our stage for today's case. And we've got Amati versus Commissioner. And again, facts are very, very easy in this particular case, which is always nice. Mr. and Ms. Amati bought a home in 2015. It was their first home. And to help with their closing costs, they tapped into Mrs. Amati's 401k plan to the tune of $6,686. And then when they got ready to report their return, they got their 1099-R that showed they had a retirement distribution. And they decided they weren't going to report it as either income, and also they weren't going to pay the 10% penalty because under the first-time home buyers, policy.
Right.
They said, oh, we're exempt from that particular rule.
Not so much, though.
So they get their nice little deficiency notice from the IRS saying that, oh, by the way, you owe the tax and you owe the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into court and they file their petition pro se, meaning they represent themselves.
Yeah, right. Because otherwise it would never gotten that far.
Yeah. And they said basically, we are asserting our first time home buyers, exception to the 10% penalty rule. So we shouldn't be paying the full penalty. And then at the bottom of the tax court petition, this is always a fun one to put in there. We just need a break. We've worked very hard and put ourselves through school. We could use a break.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they put in the bottom of their tax court petition. And the judge, Judge Armin, goes through and explains, the difference between 401ks and IRAs, and then says, and this is always a good one, although the court found petitioners to be sincere, credible, and earnest, the fact remains that the court is a court of limited jurisdiction and lacks equitable powers. Thus, the court is constrained by the text of the statute and may not act contrary to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what he's saying there, Ben, is that he kind of feels their pain. The fact that, you can't take money out of a 401k, but you can take money out of an IRA for this first up to $10,000 for a first time home is tough. I mean, it's a tough little rule because virtually the accounts are the mm-hmm. same mm-hmm. for purposes of how they work. But the fact is this exception to the penalty only applies to IRAs and not 401ks.
Now, let me ask you a question. Can you transfer between these funds?
You could roll a 401k over to an IRA. Yeah, you can certainly do that.
They could have done that.
So, it's possible that would have been a way to go and then take the withdrawal from there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do it. And I think that's kind of brings us to our first lesson in this matter, Ben, which is ask before you do.
Yes, that's right.
Get some advice before you ring that bell, because we talk about bells that can be unrung and bells that once they're rung, you can't do anything about. And this is one of those situations where once they've taken that money and they've taken that distribution out of that IRA or out of that 401k, that's one bell that can't be unrung. And then they don't report it, they're subject to tax and 10% penalty, no doubt about
it. Exactly, yeah.
I think it's one of those situations where had you told them, look, there's options here. There's ways to maybe do some things that mm-hmm. we can help you out with, but this is not a good idea to do that. I think that's kind of lesson number one, which is be proactive rather than reactive. I mean, you got to make sure that you get that advice, that you understand what you're doing and what the consequences of your actions are going to be, and then see if you still want to take them. Because I always say tax is one factor in all mm-hmm. of this. But if they really wanted that home and they needed the money and that was their only source, then maybe you eat the 10% penalty. But at least you know you're going to have to pay it.
Let me ask you, is this kind of pleading, is actually in an open court by this time, or is this just a filing?
So that you have a petition and then you have a court case.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're there. They actually said their testimony was in this particular case that someone from the 401k who was ever administering the 401k plan
told them
they could do it, and that the 10% penalty would be waived because of the first time home buyers.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Bad advice from the plan administrator, but doesn't absolve you of the 10% penalty in this particular case. The next thing I think is the lesson is tax court filings are courts of law, not courts of equity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the judge specifically mentions
courts
that.
Of equity.
Yeah. So a court of law basically means that we look at the statute.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the law. So in this particular case, we look at the Internal Revenue Code and we mm-hmm. look at the regulations. We look at revenue rulings. We look at things like that. And that's what you're bound by.
Black and white.
Black and white. That's right. Now, is there gray? There's some gray always. There's always a little bit of gray. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, unless you can get yourself into one of those statutes and say, no, this is how this applies to me. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to get yourself there.
Now, what's the difference of court of equity?
Court of equity means that in this particular case that, you know, the little, we're hard workers, we mm-hmm. put ourselves through school, give us a break, cut ourselves a break. Not going to happen. Right. You know, there's no equitable relief in the tax court, meaning, oh, you were almost there, or there's some theory, of equity out there that says that the court's going to look favorable upon you, even though you didn't mm-hmm. follow the black and white rule. Not going to happen yeah. in tax court. Now, there's certain times in civil court where you can get some equitable relief. You know, there's unjust enrichment. There's other things like that that mm-hmm. you can get in a civil court, a state court, in matters.
Or that traffic court in Rhode Island that has its own TV show. I think he shows a lot of mercy.
Shows some mercy. That's yeah. exactly right. You get some mercy shown in criminal court sometimes. In tax court, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Tax court is black and white. And it's the fact is, if you can't get yourself into a statute, you can't get yourself into the Internal Revenue Code, a regulation, a revenue ruling, or something to back up the position that you've taken, you know, there's really no point in going.
And to represent yourself in such a capacity, in such a court, is just so wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just foolish.
Well, a lot of people, they think of tax court as kind of people's court. But you mm-hmm. see here, this petition,
it's not,
you know, and it was a good try, mm-hmm. you know, by them. But ultimately, if they came and saw me and said, this is what we did, unfortunately, I had to break the news to them that it's a losing proposition to go to tax court under these circumstances.
All right. Well, as always, if you want to get in touch with Andrew, you can email him afoster@harbellandcollins.com. You can go online at harbellandcollins.com. And also check out some past videos that may answer your questions as well, and get your questions answered from the folks at harbellandcollins.com in Moorhead City.